The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan. Today, we'll attempt to sort out the good information from the bad and set the record straight on your good health. Healthcare and wellness issues can be so confusing these days, with information constantly changing. Let us help you learn what you need to know. Now, here is your host, Dr. Neil Nathan.
Welcome to the cutting edge of health and wellness today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, from Gordon Medical Associates. I would like to thank our sponsors, Research Nutritionals, BioResource, and frequency-specific microcurrent for making this program possible. Since I personally use these products in my practice on a daily basis, as our program unfolds, I'll be mentioning some of them when appropriate. Again, we are live, so if you have any questions for us, please call 1-866-472-5792, and we'll be happy to take your questions. I would like to remind you that you can download the Voice America mobile app, and you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Time, and Kindle, all for free. If you are into social media, please like us, share us. We do have our own Facebook page, so please go to the Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness today and like us and share us. And you can ask me questions on that site as well. If you would like to consult with me, please see my website at www.neilnathanmd.com, and we'll be happy to answer in more detail some of your personal health questions. So, without any further ado, I am very delighted to introduce today's guest, and that is Ty Vincent. Ty is an integrative practitioner and father of six with a busy practice in Alaska for the past 10 years. He completed medical school at the University of Washington and then a family medicine residency in Alaska. After practicing conventional medicine with a very broad scope for 2 years, he began to seek more answers to chronic disease problems that were not adequately treated by the standard approach. He has had additional training in acupuncture, Chinese herbal medicine, nutrition, chelation, detoxification, hormone therapy, immunotherapy, hyperbaric medicine, energy medicine, and he is the author of a really exceptional book, which I will recommend to you, called Thinking Outside the Pill Box. He has developed low-dose immunotherapy as an exciting new tool to assist in the treatment of compromised patients. And so it's with great pleasure I introduce Ty Vincent.
Thank you, Neil.
Well, welcome to the show, Ty. I'm very happy to have you on. As I know I was telling you earlier, I've been reading your book, and for those of you out there, it is not light reading. it's a 472-page book, give or take, chock full of both your own journey through medicine and what you learned and what you learned about both the positives and shortcomings of medicine. And then you go into quite a bit of detail in a wide variety of other healing components, nutritional components, energy healing, how to think about medications, and so on. So I would recommend Thinking Outside the Pillbox to all of our listeners out there as something that they may want to get their teeth into.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I figured if I wrote a long enough book, there'd be something in it for everyone.
Well, I enjoyed it, but that's because I basically agree with pretty much everything you said. So, you know, one of the quirks of human beings is we think that the people who agree with us are really smart people.
Yes, absolutely. We like to think that they're right, too.
Absolutely, and I'm sure you are. So to move this along, one of the things I'm really excited to talk with you about today, Ty, is that you have taken an immunotherapy that we have both used for quite some time called low-dose antigen therapy, which is nicknamed LDA, and you have recognized that it could be expanded greatly in terms of the ease of administration and also to encompass a lot more healing modalities. And the name you're giving it, which we are all liking, is LDI, which is low-dose immunotherapy. So perhaps we could start by telling our listeners about what is this, and then we can go into some of the uses that it has, which are really quite extensive.
Oh, absolutely. It was initially discovered in England back in the late 50s, around 1960, I believe, by Len McEwen. As many wonderful advances in medicine was discovered by accident. Sort of as in an ENT, an allergy practice, he realized he discovered that this enzyme called beta-glucuronidase had the potential to reestablish immune tolerance for different things in a person who had allergies, which, you know, allergy is just a hyper-reactivity of the immune system against a target that should not be targeted, you know, not in that manner at least. And so he was using this technique to treat environmental allergies like pollens and animals and whatnot, and food allergies, and then also discovered he could treat chemical sensitivity with the same technique. And it was initially called enzyme-potentiated desensitization, which is a name I actually like very much because it's descriptive and tells you what the therapy is doing. But that was imported into the United States for a number of years to be used for allergy patients here. And it was also broadened by the early pioneers to include certain bacterial organisms because it was known through the idea of molecular mimicry that a number of described autoimmune syndromes were actually the body inappropriately attacking a bacterial organism that on a molecular basis somehow cross-reacted with your human tissue. And that's kind of specific to different individuals for certain autoimmune diseases. The original one they had good success with was rheumatoid arthritis. And we still use this technique to treat that because people with rheumatoid arthritis have a certain genetic protein type marker on their cells. And it cross-reacts with a particular common bacterial organism that people get populated with just naturally. And under certain circumstances with the immune system becoming inappropriately riled up, or dysregulated, a person with that genetic type that also carries that bacterium, in this case Proteus, will develop rheumatoid arthritis. So what they found was if they desensitized that person to Proteus bacteria or reestablished immune tolerance to Proteus, the rheumatoid arthritis symptoms would stop. And so that concept has panned out very well with low-dose immunotherapy, which, like you said, in this country became called LDA or low dose allergy therapy or low dose antigen therapy. And the concept that I'm using the term low dose immunotherapy just to separate it from the antigens that are developed by a particular pharmacy that are used for the allergy aspect of this as LDA. So I just had to come up with a different name so that we could use that to discuss all the other antigenic applications we have for this. And it's pretty much limitless in regards to treating immune-mediated disease, in my opinion. All we have to do is figure out what the antigen target is for a different disease process and then reestablish immune tolerance to that antigen, and you can get that disease process under control. And through the use of different antigenic substances, I've been able to determine that a lot of autoimmune diseases are triggered by common microorganisms in the human ecosystem and in the environment. So it's been very exciting to play with over the last 5 or 6 years in my practice.
Right, and in the past we had known, I'll just cover some of the common ones, we had known, for example, as you mentioned, that the Proteus bacteria set up a reaction that created a rheumatoid arthritis type condition. And the Klebsiella bacteria, another bacteria that sometimes overgrows in the intestinal tract, created a reaction that we've associated with another immune illness, ankylosing spondylitis. also not rare, not super common either. And ulcerative colitis, another condition that's associated with the bacteria Bacteroides. So those were common immune materials that we were using for quite some time with LDA. But you're expanding that vision, and that's what I'm particularly hoping to help our listeners understand today. So what else have we figured out that we can give a very, very low dose of material to very, very gently stimulate the immune system to react differently? To use the word immune tolerance, and I think that's a great word for us to be using, so that the immune system essentially quiets down from its previous reactivity.
Right, that's the essential concept that I try to explain to patients when they're asking, what is this doing to me? And I try to encourage the use of that word tolerance, because that's the natural state of affair, if you will, but it isn't the default programming for our immune system. It has to be actively learned. And this is one technique for teaching the immune system to tolerate things. One of the other nice things about it is you can administer thousands of antigens to someone simultaneously, most of which they don't actually need because they already tolerate those substances. But teaching the immune system to tolerate something it already tolerates causes no net effect and therefore poses no risk. So that's the concept behind the broad food antigen mixture that they use, an environmental antigen mixture that's used. And so one of the first things I started playing with, actually, when I expanded on this idea, was what I call autologous immunotherapy or autologous desensitization. And that term describes taking a sample of a substance or bodily fluid or a piece of tissue from the patient themselves. Whatever tissue or body compartment happens to be inflamed, you can use a sample from there and then reestablish immune tolerance with it or desensitize the person with it by diluting it out to a very, very low concentration, out past one part per trillion in most cases, which is why this is called low-dose immunotherapy, and then reestablish immune tolerance to whatever it is that is making that person sick. And you mentioned ulcerative colitis. That's actually the inflammatory bowel diseases are the first conditions I tried this in, because I would have people who did not respond to desensitization to foods, for example, or the bacterial antigens that we already possessed. They didn't respond to drug therapies very well, and they were having chronic, you know, debilitating symptoms from their inflammatory bowel disease. So it occurred to me that I didn't have to know what the target actually was in order to help these people. I just had to take a sample from their bowel, so a stool sample, which is readily available and costs nothing, and then diluted it out a trillion-fold and sterilized the solution through a millipore, which anyone can obtain from any medical supply company, and they cost very little, and then made serial, you know, dilutions just using water in little glass vials. And I could find the right antigenic dose for every individual person to desensitize them or to reestablish tolerance by using the beta-glucuronidase enzyme and then using the antigens that I'd made from the person themselves. And I have had remarkable success with that technique, using it for people with inflammatory bowel disease, and also have found that using stool itself, it works for a wide array of chronic fatigue syndrome patients and chronic arthritis patients who don't fit specifically into rheumatoid arthritis, which would respond to Proteus, or ankylosing spondylitis that would respond to Klebsiella, for example. If I don't know what the target is for this individual, I've often found that using their own stool sample has the target in it. And I don't know what exact organism it is for an individual, let's say, but it doesn't seem to matter. But because of the fact that you can promote tolerance to all the other myriad of things that are in that sample, there are millions of antigens in that sample. And we don't know which one is the right one, but it doesn't seem to matter. You just know that it's there. And that's right. Been remarkably effective.
And we're going to expand on this discussion in just a moment, but first I wanted to mention one of our sponsors for the program, and that is Researched Nutritionals. Researched Nutritionals is well known for its specialty immune, energy, and detox formulations to promote a healthier quality of life for our patients. They're well known for conducting clinical research on their materials, And it is one of our favorites, and we use them on a daily basis in our practice. There are two specific materials which in this context I'd like to bring to our listeners' attention. The one is called Plasmic Transfer Factor. It's called PLASMYC, Transfer Factor. We've talked about that on some of our previous shows, which is very specific to help the immune system develop tolerance to viral infections of a wide variety. And there is another variety here, and we're going to get into this later in the program, Lyme transfer factor, which includes Lyme and several other organisms. So these two particular materials are particularly helpful as adjuncts to improve on our desensitization or tolerance program. So to learn more, go to researchednutritionals.com or call 800-755-3402. And with that, let's go to a break.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
Transformational healing includes energy medicine as well as hands-on healing. Tune in every week to Transformational Healing with Dr. Bonnie Morrow. If you want to know more about the business and science of energy fields, chakras, and the medical and spiritual community, join our expert guests as we work together to bring you closer to your personal health vision. Transformational Healing is heard live every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan at earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, and I am delighted to be talking to Dr. Ty Vincent, who has helped to develop the exceptionally exciting new treatment, low-dose immunotherapy, which we will simply call LDI. And before we went to a break, Ty was discussing using what we call autogenous treatment, where you would take some of a patient's own tissue. In this case, we were talking about stool, but you can use any of the body's tissues, which we'll talk about more during this broadcast. And I was just mentioning to Ty as we talked during the break that earlier in my career, back in the early 90s, I was asked to run the Livingston Clinic in San Diego. And for those of you who are not aware of it, a clinic is no longer quite operative, but for many, many years, 35 to be exact, Dr. Virginia Livingston developed a unique treatment for both autoimmunity and cancer in which she took a particular bacteria that she would grow out of either stool or urine from her patients, and then she would kill the bacteria in the same way that you would make any vaccine, and she would dilute it and make a vaccine out of it. And using it, she had a remarkable series of treatments and successes for cancer, even late stage, and autoimmune illnesses. We did one little study during my stay there in which we took 18 patients that we treated with scleroderma, which is very hard to treat in conventional medicine. And we found that six of them were completely cured using her vaccine, six were markedly improved, and six hadn't improved at all with our treatment. But for those of you who are aware of how effective conventional medicine is, this is rather spectacular in terms of improvement. So this is yet another way that we can see how making an autogenous, in this case it was a vaccine, in this case this is an immune therapy which is similar to a vaccine, how effective that can be. So, so Ty, coming back to this subject, one of the most exciting breakthroughs that you've had is figuring out how to help patients with Lyme disease using the same technology.
Yes, definitely. That has really, I guess, sort of put this on the map, so to speak, or really brought, you know, a larger awareness to this technique is applying it to Lyme disease, which I just started, I think, in April 2014 was when I first started treating the condition that way. And because of the nature, the large number of people who are suffering with the disease and the fact that there's a high failure rate with other techniques that have been widely used so far, it caught a lot of attention. And I've been very pleased with the success of the technique in that disease state in a general sense. It's also enabled us to identify other diseases that have been thought to be autoimmune in nature that all actually seem to be caused by the same organisms, just a denser, more aggressive type of immune response to that will manifest as like the multiple sclerosis, for example, seems to in most cases be related to the Lyme disease bacteria. And I never would have known that if I hadn't had this tool to use that's pure immune therapy based. So I can tell that if something responds to this therapy, that means that the symptoms we're addressing were an immune reaction to those organisms. It should be a cause and effect relationship in that regard. But anyhow, the patients with severe Lyme disease that we've treated, in some cases, have had their symptoms completely resolved just within a day of giving them the right dose, and that's been remarkable to me.
Well, let's talk for a minute about the right dose, because that's one of the unique components of your treatment right now. When LDA was developed, we all were given a set dosage that we used, and people either could handle it or they couldn't, and we would kind of try to help them handle it, but we were kind of stuck with a single dosing. And one of the creative ways that you figured out to make that work better is that by diluting it, you can find really the right dose for that individual.
Right. That's one of the interesting things about LDA. When I learned LDA as well, probably 8 years ago, you're right. They give you these fixed doses and there's a dogmatic approach to everybody gets this dose. It's one size fits all. But like you mentioned, human beings are not one size fits all in terms of response. And there would be failures, you know, a certain percentage of failures. And that was just considered, you know, acceptable as a matter of course. And I didn't really accept that. And eventually started playing with the idea of altering the dosage because I'm familiar with other types of immunotherapy as well. I used to do sublingual immune therapy, desensitization, and provocation neutralization techniques and other things that we learn in environmental medicine. And all of those techniques are individualized by nature. You know, everybody is titrated to the effective dose for them. And two people with the same disease condition and the same antigen can have vastly different dose requirements or dilution requirements. So when I started using autogenous samples and when I started making customized LDI samples like the Lyme disease bacteria, for example, what I discovered was that patients with the same disease using the same antigen have incredibly different dose response parameters. For example, we use the nomenclature, the homeopathic dilution, the letter C, which stands for 100-to-1 dilution. And so a 5C dilution is about the strongest we tend to need for people. And that's still diluted out 10 zeros. So 5C, I think, works out to 10 billion to 1. 6C is 10 to the negative 12th, or a trillion to 1. And so these are very far dilutions, but the weakest dilutions we tend to need for people are out in the realm of 32 zeros. So like 16C is about where the most sensitive patients have lied. So that's an immense difference. That's 22 zeros difference between the strongest concentrations and the weakest concentrations that we tend to use. And when I started to treat people with Lyme disease originally, I gave everyone the same starting dose for the first 40 cases because I really didn't know where we were going to go with this. Then I had to observe the response. And so a lot of people flared. One of the things that everybody needs to understand is that if you give a dose that's too concentrated or too strong to an individual, their symptoms may flare. And that means whatever they experience with their disease, just it turns up the volume. It's not usually new symptoms that come out of nowhere. Just the same stuff they deal with gets worse. And so we started everyone with a 6C dilution at the beginning, and a lot of people flared with that because now in retrospect, of course they did because it's way too strong for most people. But that experience then led us to go further and further and further with the dilutions and find where these outliers tend to be. And now that we've treated hundreds of people with Lyme disease, we have a much better sense of where people tend to fall. And the technique I have adapted to start at the weaker end of the spectrum and gradually work backwards stronger and stronger so that we avoid that flare risk and we more quickly and efficiently find the target dilution for everyone. But that's something that became very obvious with these customized dilutions. And then I started to realize that all of the standardized ones you and I and other LDA practitioners have used for all these years could actually be modified similarly. So I now have had opportunity to treat some of the most sensitive people from other parts of the country, even in some cases, who had tried LDA in the past with the standard doses and flared horribly, like with their environmental allergies or their food allergies, for example, or chemical sensitivities, and they were afraid to ever try it again. But then when they heard that I had been playing with this technique, now I've taken the standard chemical and food and inhalant mixtures we get from the pharmacy and diluted them in some cases out 100,000 times weaker than that for some of these very ultra-sensitive patients and have successfully found their treatment endpoint.
Right. Well, we started working with your materials 4 or 5 months ago, mm-hmm. and we often say on the air that, not that we're proud of it, but that because we're a referral center for very sensitive people, that is a huge part of our practice at Gordon Medical Associates. And we started with what you thought were your weakest, like 16C. And
yes.
When we did that, about half of our patients who had Lyme or other things were able to handle it just fine, and about half of them flared. So
yeah.
We've found that with our particular group, we've been cutting it down. We went to 17, 18, we're now at 20, and we're still learning about how to start at a low enough dose so that our patients can begin to come along and get their immune systems to get desensitized.
Right. And that's interesting that you say that, and I'm glad that groups like yours and some other colleagues of mine around the country that have very large Lyme disease practices in particular are using this material because groups like yours and these others have much larger patient populations to draw from and are treating the sicker end of the spectrum with this disease syndrome. And so you will be laboratories for learning how to use this technique far beyond what I could figure out with my much smaller population. So that's part of my goal with this was to develop a network of practitioners who share their experience with one another and share their information. And as we move forward as a group, we should be able to learn very fast, not just about the Lyme disease application, but many, many other things. So that's exciting to me to hear.
Well, and we see it the same way. We're all in this together, and there are so many more people than we can even help that I think of us as being on the cutting edge of figuring out what we can do to help these really sick people and speed up their recovery. We're literally creating this new body of science kind of as we go here. So let me take just a second here, Ty, to introduce another of our wonderful sponsors, and that would be Frequency-Specific Microcurrent. Frequency-Specific Microcurrent, which we nickname FSM, is a wonderful healing technique that allows us to use two different frequencies at very, very, very low electrical doses that can do some remarkable things to the body. It can help with pain. It can help with rebooting the immune system. It can help with rebalancing neurotransmitters and hormones. It can help with detoxification. So to learn more about FSM, I encourage our listeners to go to frequencyspecific.com to learn more. And with that, we'll go to another break.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
We are bombarded daily with information about beauty products and anti-aging treatments. Do you know how they have been tested? Are they truly going to make a change or just take the change out of your pocket? Tune in to Shelley's Show and Tell with host Shelley Hancock. We'll bring you the top-rated skincare products and treatments tested by real transformation skincare centers. We'll motivate you to make the best changes. Listen Mondays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan at earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, and I'm delighted to be with Dr. Ty Vincent. We're talking about a variety of very exciting new medical opportunities here, particularly low-dose immunotherapy that Dr. Vincent has developed. Before we continue with our discussion, I'm told that we have a caller. Station, why don't we put that through?
Hi. I have a question. I'm on LDI from a stool sample.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, when I looked on at the YouTube discussion by Ty Vincent, you had to wait 7 or 8 weeks to redose yourself. And I'm curious about that, because I understand it's changing.
No, I think it's a clearer discussion. And Ty, it's right up your alley. Why don't we talk about that?
Yeah. No, I'm glad you called in and asked that question. It's the history of low-dose immunotherapy, or LDA, EPD, any permutation there was for this therapy, it was discovered that you had to wait 7 weeks minimum to repeat a dose for a patient when you gave them the same antigen again. And if you gave the antigenic dose earlier than that, you would usually initiate a flare. You'd usually cause things to get worse instead of better. The way that's been understood, the belief has been that what's happening is we are educating a certain population of lymphocytes. Okay, some of the immune system cells that are processing this information and learning this actively are regulatory T lymphocytes. And the individual lymphocytes that the person has live about 55 to 60 days let's say, ballpark. So what would happen if you administered the dose a second time within that lifespan of those individual cells, it would constitute a double dose for them, and it would actually be too much, and you would see symptoms flare up. I had challenged that myself in the past with different antigens, including the stool ones that I had made myself for people with ulcerative colitis in one case. And I just wasn't sure if the same rules would apply because I had made this self-sample, and we had a dose that had worked for this particular woman, one dose cycle, and then her symptoms came back after just 3 weeks. And she said, well, can I get another dose? And I said, well, you know, I'm not sure, but we know from our other experience with these allergy extracts that it's not a good idea. But she wanted to go ahead and try it, and just since it was unknown, I thought, you know, if I have a willing participant, we'll see what happens. But her inflammatory bowel symptoms flared up horribly. And she ended up like with this bloody diarrhea and a swollen abdomen, and, you know, all of her bowel was swollen on a CAT scan. I said, okay, that's clearly a bad idea. But what I have learned, why this is changing, is it occurred to me, again, because a patient was very insistent and wanted to try it, and it was a Lyme disease patient this time. This year in February, one of our Lyme disease patients, she got a dose and all of her symptoms got so much better. She was just absolutely astounded. And then within just a couple of weeks, her symptoms came back. And that's typical with the progression with this kind of desensitization, is you get a short-term response, and then every dosing cycle with repetition, the response hopefully gets better and better and longer and longer. And eventually they had relief for more than 7 weeks, and you could keep people continuously well. This particular woman was very insistent, which was good in this case, and she really wanted us for the dose again, even though I told her she would probably flare, but she didn't care. She wanted to try it again. And then I thought, okay, fine, I'll just make her flare, and then she'll quit asking me to do this for her. And then it occurred to me, I had this epiphany, what if I give her a smaller dose? What if I give her a weaker dilution? Like, so in this case, I think she had responded to like a 6C dilution, which is pretty strong, for the Lyme, and I thought, well, let's just give her a 7C, which is only 1% of that first dose.
Right.
It's 100 times weaker. And so we gave her that, and it worked wonderfully. It actually improved her symptoms even better than the original dose had, and extended her benefit another couple of weeks. So with that idea, or with that experience, the concept of what I call now a booster dose was born. I realized that if someone gets a shorter period of relief, shorter than the 7 weeks, I can give them a fraction of their effective dose early, whenever their symptoms come back. That means that their immune system cells are ready for more information. It just can't be the same it can't be the same dose that you gave them the first time. It has to be a fraction of that dose. And so I've played with this technique now for 6 months.
I have had one dose, and it's been 18.5. Was wonderful, felt great for about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Now, so you're saying if I do it again before a few weeks from now, I should make it less strong.
Correct. So if you waited a whole 7 week cycle, you could get that same 18.5 dose again. But you could take a 19.5 would be 100 times weaker. And that's the safest booster dose to try. I've found is a 1% fraction. So you could get that. You could have them just make one more dilution step, you know, make a 19.5, and you could use that right now. Like, as soon as your symptoms have returned, you can use the 1% dose. And it will usually give you relief again. And you can repeat that every week. If symptoms only clear for a week and then they come back, you can do that over and over through that 7 week cycle. And then once it's been 7 or 8 weeks from the initial full dose, you can use the full dose once again. And that's been.
So when you're doing the booster doses, if I did it every week, would I dilute it again and again, or would I stick with a 19.5?
You stick with 19.5, because see, it's 1%. And this, if you think about the dosing of LDI in terms of mathematics, it all makes more sense. But people hate math, so they don't like it when I talk about this, but it really has to be mathematics. And so if the 18.5 is set at your 100% dose, okay, then even if you took a 19.5 three times during the 7 week cycle, you've only gotten 103% of your dose, which is really not a lot, right?
Right.
And that's how the math works out. So if you diluted it further and you took a 20.5, that's only 0.5 1% of your dose. And it won't have any impact on you at all. It really is, it's negligible. And when we started to think about it in terms of the math, the booster dose idea was the first thing that we realized we could do. And then the corollary to that is when you're trying to find the person's dose to start with, you don't have to wait 7 weeks in between doses. So like with the Lyme disease population, like Dr. Nathan mentioned, some of his have required 20C, but some of them will need 10C, let's say. And if you start everyone at 20, the people who really need 10, it would take like 2 years for them to finally get to their effective dose if you did the 7 or 8 weeks in between dose cycles. So when I started to realize the math, how 100-to-1 dilution step mathematics changed so quickly. It's a logarithmic progression. But if you started this person at 20, you could give them if nothing happens, if they have no response at all, you know the dose is too weak, and you can go ahead and give them the 19C dose just 10 days later. We used to do this once a week, and that was a little too fast because some people don't respond so quickly. So we space it to 10 days now. But now you can go through 3 doses in a month, and you can progress, and we call this technique dose titration. So we're trying to find the effective dose. So for someone who you think is highly sensitive and you don't want to risk a flare, you would start them with a 20C dilution for Lyme, and if nothing happens, then in 10 days they can have the 19C. If nothing happens, in 10 days later they can have the 18C, and so on. And that way, you can safely and efficiently find the target dose for each individual, without nearly the same risk of flaring. You still will flare every once in a while because somebody's ideal dose might actually be 11.5C. And so you give them the 12, nothing happens. You give them the 11 and they have a little bit of a flare. But the flares that we incur with this strategy are far more mild and short-lived than when we were starting people stronger and just winging it. So these two technique changes, which completely eliminate the 7-week rule, have been incredibly useful for us in practice, making this more applicable to people, getting them a good response quicker and safer, and starting to get more consistent relief very early on with the booster dose technique. So I've been the most excited about these technique changes, which can be applied to any antigen that you're using. It's been very fun the last 6 months.
Very good to know. So I'm going to try and make up a 19.5 and see what happens.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, if you want to be conservative, you can try a 20 to start with and see if it, you know, because people have different levels of fear about their symptoms, and it depends on how sick they are. So we it's never the wrong answer to go weaker than you think, and then you can always take a stronger dose. Just 10 days later, you can try a stronger dose. Whereas if you go on the aggressive side and you give someone a stronger dose to see what will happen, if somebody has a flare response, then you have to wait the 7 weeks, and you have this setback.
Okay.
So anytime somebody does flare, you do have to wait 7 weeks, and you have to let the immune system reset itself, and that whole population of lymphocytes all has to pass on, and a new batch has to be there for information, because otherwise all you're going to do is make it work.
The treatment is, it works so fast. I mean, within an hour. Wow.
Yep.
It was so fast. Yep.
It's like flipping the switch. So what it shows you is when symptoms respond like that, what it tells you is that your symptoms, those the ones that responded at least, are a product of active inflammation. And it's quick to just shut it right off. You know, so with the Lyme disease population, there's been a strong belief that, you know, the tremors that some of them have, or the heart palpitations or the headache, that they think they have damage occurred to their nervous system. You know, I've had people come into my office that have a very obvious tremor in their hands. They can't walk without a walker. They're horribly debilitated. And within 5 minutes of getting their dose, their tremor is gone, their headache is gone, and they can walk without their walker. And it looks like some kind of weird miracle, but really it's just you shut off the inflammatory response. It's that quick. And it shows you that they did not actually have structural damage to their nervous system. There's no way. But then you get somebody with multiple sclerosis. That's the advanced stage of Lyme disease, in my opinion, where they do have actual damage to their nerve structures. And those people recover as well, but they have to have a healing period before they get their function to come back. I've had them, you know, their numbness and tingling goes away within an hour of their dose, but it takes months and months before they start to be able to gain muscular strength back, you know, because the tissue has to be healed. So in your case, the symptoms that responded right away were active inflammatory symptoms, and that's what a lot of people are dealing with.
Yeah. Sandra, thank you very much for your question. It allowed us to expand our discussion in an area we definitely wanted to go. Let me take a moment to mention yet another of our wonderful sponsors, and that would be that of BioResource. BioResource has been bringing into this country some wonderful German homeopathic remedies for many years now. They're located here in Northern California. And a number of their products are particularly relevant to this discussion. I'd like to mention Notatum Drops. Notatum is spelled N-O-T-A-T-U-M. Now, it can be used as drops, capsules, or even rectal suppositories, and it is a major remedy for autoimmune illness and any inflammatory condition, meaning if there is inflammation, which is really what we're talking about, this is another adjunctive treatment to really help us move these patients along. So that's Notatum, and the company is BioResource, which you can contact at 800-203-3775, or you can contact them at BioResource at BioResourceInc.com. And with that, we'll go to another break.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
Can grief be good for you? Absolutely. It gets your attention, helping you evaluate your choices and relationships. Your losses define who you are. Tune in each week for Good Grief with host Cheryl Jones. Our show features those who have made incredible transformations by grieving their losses. You'll learn how to find your courage and strength. You'll discover the important things in your life and how to let go of things that are less important. Good Grief airs live Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan@earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, and again, delighted to be with Dr. Ty Vincent talking about the exciting new field of low-dose immunotherapy, or LDI. And so, Ty, we're beginning to get into kind of the mechanics of this, and one of the questions that I know people will have is that in low-dose antigen therapy, we did our treatments exclusively by injection, and those injections were what we call intradermal, kind of like a PPD test that people would have where it's just barely under the skin, raising a little bleb with a teeny amount that's injected. So you've been working with sublingual as well as intradermal injections, and I'd love to hear your experience about where this is moving.
Yeah, definitely. I was one of three people lecturing on the topic of LDA about 5 or 6 years ago at one of the environmental medicine meetings, and the person who spoke before me was Dr. Gus Katsanis, who has a big practice in Dallas, Texas, big integrated practice. And he mentioned during the course of his talk that he treated a lot of kids with autism spectrum disorders. And a lot of them have extensive allergies, food and environmental and different things. And so there's some success to be gained with the LDA technique, desensitizing to those things. As a quick side note, I've actually found that a lot of the autism population appears to be affected by the Lyme bacteria, and we are getting really exciting responses desensitizing these kids with the Lyme organisms, just as an aside. But Gus mentioned that they had decided, because those kids were so difficult to get them to come in the office and take the injections, which the injections are extremely painful, that they decided to try it sublingually in this population, which makes total sense because we've done many other forms of immunotherapy sublingually over the years anyway. And so he said that it seemed to be working just fine in that population. And from that moment on, I went home very excited back to my practice because I had been giving these very painful injections to kids and adults. The adults will complain, but at least they don't cry and kick and scream and run away and look at you like you're the devil, like the children do. So I started giving the doses sublingually to people, mostly kids to start with. And over the years now, I think probably 85% of the doses that we give are sublingual. My experience overall has been that the effect seems virtually the same in the vast majority of cases. There have been a few people here and there who thought that the injection route worked much better for them, and so they stick with injection route. And I haven't seen any consistency as far as what kind of disease process responds better that way or what kind of person. It seems pretty random. So we start everybody with the sublingual route now, and if we couldn't find a response for them by adjusting the dose, then we might try it by injection, but I haven't honestly had to do that. What I've learned because of experimenting with dosage is that even if the sublingual route were perhaps a little less potent for that person, all I have to do is give them a bigger dose, and then you can get the same response sublingually. And the reason this works is that the population of regulatory T lymphocytes is very dense in the floor of the mouth. And that's because this is an area where we interface with the environment in a very dramatic fashion through what we eat, what's in the air when we breathe. Kids walk around and put everything in their mouth. And one of the reasons that that's a good behavior for us in terms of adaptation is then our immune system gets to experience the world and experience the environment and learns to tolerate what's in the environment. And that process occurs very strongly in the mouth. So I found this to be very effective.
We have about 2.5 minutes left. And in that time, I was hoping you could at least begin the subject of treating interstitial cystitis or vulvovaginitis, a huge problem which has been very hard to treat, and you've got some of your antigen seems to work very well for that. So please give us an introduction to that.
Okay. The technique and style is all the same. What I found with interstitial cystitis is that for a lot of women, and this is pretty much a female disease almost exclusively, but men may end up with chronic prostatitis and can have the same kind of antigenic stimuli. But for women, they may be reactive to foods in some cases, some of them to chemicals. Many women with interstitial cystitis are reactive to yeast, the yeast organisms that live in the vaginal vault or on the skin or in the genital urinary system. So I get a lot of good responses using the yeast antigen mixture that I've put together for years now. It has candida and then baker's and brewer's yeast in it. And then when that doesn't work, I often end up using urine. So we talked about the autologous or autogenous sampling. Using a woman's own urine sample works in many cases. And I've gotten to work with enough of these women now, a growing number of them, that I have gotten a handle on based on the story and the particularities of their symptoms. I've gotten pretty good at figuring out which antigens they need. But you just go through the list, start with foods and chemicals and yeasts, and if that doesn't clear it up, you can use their own urine sample. And I've actually seen a number of these women who respond to the Lyme disease bacteria collection as well. So some of the women with Lyme will get chronic vaginitis symptoms or urinary symptoms. So you just have to keep throwing your net wider and wider, and eventually you cover all the bases. And with most women with interstitial cystitis, they need more than one antigen. It's usually multiple things that are contributing to this condition.
Well, Ty, this has been a really eye-opening and wonderfully optimistic discussion of things that we can do and do better than we did before, and I really need to compliment you on your creativity in putting all this together. So again, thank you so much for coming on the program. Let me mention that next week we're going to have kind of a review. This is the end of our first year of actually doing all of these shows, and I would like to kind of summarize in one program a little bit of what we did this year. And I would like to add to that discussion, I'd like to talk about love and its role in healing, something we haven't addressed yet. So, Ty, once again, thanks so much for your wonderful input today. And to all of our listeners, be well.
Thank you again for joining us for The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. Please join Dr. Neil Nathan again next Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time and 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. And this week, apply what you've learned today to enjoy better health.